Our special guest is Eugene Albulescu, who not only is a conductor and a Steinway pianist, but a great storyteller. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We have several pieces on the program today. Did you want to tell us about the first piece?
I thought I'd start with something fun that everybody knows. This is the most iconic of the more than 600 sonatas by Domenico Scarlatti in C major. Should I play it?
Play it. Music of Domenico Scarlatti on WRTI 90.1, performed live in our performance studio by Eugene Albulescu. You have quite a circuitous route that you took to get here, Romania, New Zealand, and now you're in Philadelphia. And you have something coming up very soon as well.
Yes. Well, my day job is I am a professor at Lehigh University, and I also conduct the Lehigh Orchestra, and I'm actually on sabbatical this year, and as part of my sabbatical, I am not conducting the orchestra, but I'm playing with them. So just a little plug for our concert, which is in April, at the first week of April, and it is conducted by somebody else by the name of Greg Fumfgeld, who is a great colleague and friend, and his day job is conducting the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. So we're doing a very nice side-by-side with the choir. They're doing the Mozart Requiem, and I'm performing the Mozart Concerto K-467, the so-called Elvira Madigan concerto. And
The movie that we all know and love.
We all know and love, except for the bits that we don't know, because I'm trying, as part of my sabbatical, I'm doing an ambitious thing where I'm going to be improvising all the cadenzas. There's five cadenzas in this concerto, two of the major ones at the end of first and last movement, and then there's a couple of entry cadenzas. So it's going to be fun.
The next piece that we're going to hear, you have a story about that, a Beethoven piece.
Yes, well, your producer was asking us, how do we say that? It's by Beethoven, and it says W-O-O, capital W, small o, large o, and then 57. So we had to explain to her that, in fact, it's something in German called Werke ohne Opus, which means work without an opus. So this piece doesn't have an opus. So why does it not have an opus? It's quite a story. It was originally part of a sonata that everybody knows very well today, but nobody knew at that time. The sonata became his opus 53, and it acquired a name because of the dedicated it to a patron, Count Waldstein. So this became known as the Waldstein Sonata. Now, before it was the Waldstein Sonata, it was an idea. And as an idea, he wrote it and became quite pleased with it, and he played it for a bunch of his friends. I think it was the Lichnowsky Palace. A bunch of his patrons and supporters heard it. And somehow, they were adamant that it was too long. And, geez, it's never ending. You got to do something about this piece. And maybe you could rewrite the slow movement. And because the slow movement went on and on and on. And Beethoven said, no, absolutely not. Well, eventually, he relented. But he decided he likes this movement quite a lot and did not want to cut it. And so instead, he cut it completely from the sonata. He wrote what is now the current slow movement to that sonata, which is called Introduzione. And then he left this piece as his piece. And everybody knows it by also another colloquial name called Andante Favori, Favorite Andante. This is because it was Beethoven's favorite piece. He played it over and over at gatherings. And he had a way of playing that apparently was quite idiosyncratic and weird. Weird enough that people could imitate and make fun of, you know. And so the story goes that years later, a similar gathering took place after his opera had flopped, Leonora, or Conjugal Love. And again, the same conversation ensued with these people saying, geez, it's so long. Maybe you could start cutting, you know. And Beethoven, of course, later he relented, but at that point he said, not one note must go. And he stormed out and left the meeting. Whereupon people were talking about him, and he couldn't really hear that much of what they were saying. Obviously, he wasn't in the room. But at that point, apparently, according to a couple of biographies that relate the story, his student, Carl Czerny, started playing this piece in a way that imitated Beethoven. And sure enough, Beethoven forgot his scarf because it was a snowy day, not unlike today. And so he walks in the room, and he somehow figured out that they were making fun of him, even without being able to hear how it was being played. But evidently, Czerny was mimicking his idiosyncrasies. So he stormed out, and that's how come the piece didn't get an opus number. He never played it again. So it's a handful of pieces that we hear of Beethoven that are like his favorite. His favorite symphony, also in F major, just like this piece, number 8. And so it's a joy for me to play. It's not easy. But it's a delight. If you've never heard it, it's like a breath of fresh air and something that I really enjoy playing every time I do.
And here is Eugene Albulescu to play Beethoven on WRTI. Pianist Eugene Albulescu, performing live on WRTI 90.1 with music of Beethoven. He is Andante without opus number 57 in F major. It would be interesting to hear how he played it, what his idiosyncrasies were.
There's quite a lot of things that have been written about how his fingers move. Apparently, they were quite close to the keyboard, but he did probably facial expressions and what have you. We don't really know. Without the benefit of recordings, before the 20th century, we don't have the luxury of being able to hear these people live. So all we have is people's accounts of how they sounded like. And in the case of Beethoven, there was quite a lot more written about his appearance than about the music, with the one exception, which is that during this time, he did apparently play the pedal quite a lot. Normally when we pedal using what we call legato pedaling, so you pedal based on the harmony. And with Beethoven, when the harmonies changed, he also kept the pedal down. But it turns out that, so everybody assumed that this is because he's deaf. And so accounts of his playing said he was so deaf that he couldn't even hear that the pedal was down the whole time, and it created this huge blur. Whereas in fact, in key pieces like the one I just played, the sonata that this came from, the Waldstein sonata, in the last movement, he actually says, keep the pedal down the whole time for like 50 bars. So it creates a real magic effect to have the blurred harmonies. So I think he was more clever than we give him credit for. And it's unfortunate that few people actually interpret it that way. Of course, he played on a forte piano, not a gorgeous Steinway Spirio piano that we're playing on today, And I should say that both of the pieces that I've just played for you, one intended for harpsichord, and then the one you've just heard for a straight-strung forte piano, not for a Steinway. So we have the great benefit to be able to play these on a modern instrument.
And speaking of pianos, you had the opportunity, we were chatting beforehand, of playing on a piano that Rachmaninoff preferred.
Yes.
And that is something we could hear today.
Yes, and the nice thing about Rachmaninoff is that the output of Rachmaninoff was meant for a 9-foot Steinway. He composed for this make of piano. Yes, the piano that I was talking to you about was in a place in New Zealand, in Blenheim, and I performed a concert there a while back. And they told me this instrument was really special. And the piano technician from Steinway Hamburg came, and they spent a lot of money on this piano to redo it. The technician apparently called them after he was done, and he said, you guys have to come and listen to this thing. And they're like, yes, we know it's a great instrument. And he said, no, you really have to come and listen. It was really an astounding instrument, and I remember the whole concert, I was thinking, gee, it had these booming basses, and I thought, why am I not playing rock? I was playing things like Bartok and very angular, and so I thought, had I known, I would have put Rachmaninoff on the program, so I played a Rachmaninoff. I said to the audience, the whole concert, I'm playing this beautiful piano in your community, and I'm thinking, I wish I played some Rachmaninoff, and I'd like to play for you an encore of Rachmaninoff. So after the concert, an elderly gentleman comes, very elderly. This is like in the 1990s. So. He had been there for a while, and he was a doctor, and he said, young man, did you look inside that piano? And I said, no. And he said, well, might want to look inside there. So I looked inside it, and the frame of the instrument was signed Sergei Rachmaninoff. So then it all made a lot of sense. The piano had been in the Royal Albert Hall. He was the person that brought the piano to New Zealand. He was a doctor, and he brought it in the 1940s. And apparently, when he brought it to New Zealand, it had already been refurbished because concert instruments in large concert halls only really stay there about 10, 15 years maximum. But this was an instrument that apparently the reason people sign instruments, at least back then, and I've done this with things like Pro Piano, you sign them so that when you play there again, you say, can you pick the one that I've already signed? So they look for your signature on the frame, and then they pick that one. Because you're like, so apparently every time Rachmaninoff played in Royal Albert Hall, which also explained the reason that it was brown. It was like mahogany, the way the concert hall is. So apparently Rachmaninoff, every time he played there, he asked for that piano to be brought out. So,
well, we have one piano, and it's a good one.
That's a great one.
And you are going to play Rachmaninoff on it.
Yes,
what's the piece?
Is a very well-known prelude in G minor. I thought I should play it so that I could put a plug for my recording, since this is my... I've recorded on lots of labels, including Naxos and Ode, but I was fortunate a few years ago to purchase the rights to my recordings from a one label that was being sold, and so I've released them. And this piece that I'm about to play is my best-selling on iTunes. Because you get a monthly check, and you know, so you can see how many people downloaded it on all sorts of things like Spotify and all, it's a great piece. I enjoy playing it, it's interesting because the performance is really different every time. It depends on the piano, depends on the audience, it depends on what I had for breakfast. Or didn't, how much snow I shoveled today. we got 9 inches in the Easton, you know. There's something really unique about each performance that recordings really somehow crystallize and make it, you know, they make us an actual snapshot in time, which may never really be repeated. But I really enjoy playing for radio for that reason. First of all, because radio, you play for an imaginary audience that could be listening. There's also you guys in the studio. But also, it makes me forget microphones. It's also a medium where few people actually record what's happening on radio anymore. You know, I guess you guys are putting it on
Facebook.
On Facebook. But there's that element of this moment will never be repeated that you get when you listen to a live performance, especially on radio when, you know, you happen to be doing something else and it's in the background. Shoveling snow, yes.
So. Well, here is Eugene to play Rachmaninoff.
Thank you.
Music of Rachmaninoff on WRTI 90.1, The Prelude in G Minor, Opus 23, Number 5, performed live in our studio by Eugene Albulescu. Did you want to have one more chance at that Mozart Requiem so we can tell our listeners about it? It's in April?
It's in April, and it's at Zollner Art Center, Baker Hall, and it features the Lehigh University Philharmonic Orchestra, the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, yours truly on the piano. On the program is, they're doing a Te Deum, which was composed for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, some 60 years ago. And then they're doing the Requiem with some phenomenal soloists. And then I'm playing the concerto opus, K-467 by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Eugene Albulescu, thank you very much for being our guest today.
Thank you. Pleasure.